There are three events in the life of Moses that are standout events. Events that most people would say they have recognition of. His leading of the children of Israel at the crossing of the Red Sea. His going up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. And his confrontation with Pharaoh to let the people go. Last week I spoke on Moses and his faith, what it took to forsake the land of Egypt, to give up all that he had. And that certainly was a great act of faith. But all that he was going to lose was physical stuff that he could have lived without, which he did live without. Tonight, as we look at his confrontation with Pharaoh, what he is putting on the line is not anything physical other than his whole life. He could die at the hands of Pharaoh. And that would take even greater faith, if there is such a thing. When you read the book of Hebrews and look at the account there, and I'll put it up on the screen for you. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. As I said, with all these passages in Hebrews, the writer is writing just kind of matter-of-factly. There's no emotion, no drama. It just, okay, so he was told to keep the Passover. He did it. Go on to the next thing. I want to suggest to you tonight that as we go back and look at all that was involved in this confrontation with Pharaoh, there are a lot of things that, humanly speaking, and remember that Moses was just an ordinary human being, just like the rest of us. And if we were in Moses' sandals, probably we might be shaking in our boots and maybe not have kept the sprinkling of the Passover. I want to use a little sanctified imagination as we get to it and suggest some things that could have dissuaded Moses from confronting Pharaoh. To do that, I need to back up and give you a little bit of history. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 5. I want to kind of set the stage for what happens as he confronts Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5. We'll look at the first 8 verses. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is this Lord? Who is this Yahweh? That I should obey his voice and let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Who do you guys think you are? You're claiming to be servants of some God who has authority over me. I've never even heard his name. I am the most powerful man on earth. Who are you to tell me what to do? Who is your God to tell me what to do? And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, a 3 days' journey into the desert. Sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." And remember, these guys were slaves in Egypt, and if God wipes them out, he's wiping out the resources of Egypt. So it was profitable for Pharaoh to do that. And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" Who do you think you are telling the people to take a break? Get back to work. Pharaoh said, "Behold, people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens." Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters, the people, and their officers, saying, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Look, they got too much time on their hands. They're slackers. We're involved in getting straw for them to make these bricks, and they have all this extra time that they want to take some time off. If they have all this time, let them get the straw themselves. We can take some time off. So that didn't go too well, did it? Moses says, need you to give us some time off to sacrifice. And what happens? Things get worse. Not so good. Drop on down to verse 20. Moses goes and he tells the people what went on. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our Savior to be, or our Savior, not Savior, Savior, to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. You went in there, and all you guys did was make things worse. We're not too appreciative of you right now. You are not getting our most favored status award. They weren't happy because now they have all this extra work. And remember, Moses is not too sure about his leadership position. When God met him at the burning bush, he said, I'm commissioning you to go back. Moses said, well, you know, who am I to lead these people? So he's a little uncertain about this, and now the people aren't very happy with him. Drop on down to chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go. With a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Now, if you were here on Wednesday nights with Jim doing a study on the names of God, he went through this not too long ago. God Almighty is that, a God who is mighty in power. But Jehovah has a different emphasis to it. And the emphasis is found here in verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Okay, I've made a covenant with your forefathers. I'm going to keep my covenant. So, you're worried about what went on. It didn't seem to go right. Don't worry about it. I am a covenant keeping God. Drop on down a few more verses of Scripture, chapter 7, beginning at verse 8. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt show, shall say unto Aaron, excuse me, take thy rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now, the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, they go in, okay. God says, I know what I'm doing. That didn't work at first, or at least it didn't work in your conception. But I'm going to do something, and Pharaoh's going to let you go. He's going to be so glad to get rid of you, he's going to drive you out. You go in, he's going to ask for a miracle. You cast your rod down, it's going to become a snake. That'll do it. They go in, they cast it down. Magicians do the same thing. And what happens? Instead of Pharaoh recognizing the power of God, his heart is hardened. Things are worse. Well, that didn't go over too well either. Drop on down to verse 15. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water. Thou shalt stand by the river's brink against him he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thy hand. Thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou would not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river. They shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die. And the river shall stink. And the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, upon their rivers and upon their ponds, upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and the vessels of stone. Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod, smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And guess what? And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. Did the same miracle. And what happened? Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Oh, it didn't work again. To condense the story a little bit, as we go through chapter 7, we find that God, in verses 15 through 22, is going to say, okay, we're going to do this one. We're going to cover the land with frogs coming out of the rivers, which, guess what the magicians did? The same thing, or at least they tried. Only this time, oh yeah, they did that one too. Well, then they tried lice. The magicians tried that. They couldn't do that one. But guess what happened? Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Get to chapter 8. That is chapter 8. The frogs, the lice, the flies, chapter 9. There's pestilences amongst the people and the animals. There's boils. There's hail coming down out of heaven in chapter 9. And every time a miracle takes place from the hand of Moses from God, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It got worse and worser. Chapter 10, you get to locusts. And then a darkness falls upon the land. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. 9 times, all these miracles, none of them changed the heart of Pharaoh to let the people go. And his heart was hardened. And if his heart was hardened, guess what he was doing to the people of Israel? He's not making life any easier for them. We get to chapter 11. Beginning at verse 4, Moses is speaking to Pharaoh once again. Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And Pharaoh sat there and more than likely said, I guess we'll see about that one. You did all these other miracles. They didn't persuade me a lick. This isn't going to happen. Well, we know better than that. Chapter 12. He now speaks to the people about this next thing that's going to happen. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt. Now this is the word of God coming from the mouth of Moses to the people of Israel. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to thee for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I'm coming through about midnight. You guys get in your houses. If you have it coated with blood on the outside, I'll pass over. But the Egyptians, the firstborn, is going to die. And he makes the instructions very, very clear. Verse 21. Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out, take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basement. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, upon the two side posts, and the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Okay, that's the plan. Rather interesting plan, isn't it? What was Moses thinking? Well, Scripture doesn't exactly tell us. But let me suggest some things that he may have been thinking, that you might have been thinking had you been standing in his sandals. Number one, Lord, people are not too happy with me right now. This is not a plan that they will receive too quickly. My life is on the line here. Every time I've done what you told me to do, things only got worse. To be quite honest, Lord, I'm not too sure that this one's going to be successful either. You have a different plan? Of course, you wouldn't say that, would you? By faith, he kept the Passover. I think there very well could have been some doubt in his mind about whether this one was going, because all the other ones didn't work. Would this one really work too? But the answer to the question is this. Faith may have some reservations, some concerns about the plan of God, but never about the God of the plan. God will always do what he says he will do. With the other nine plagues, he never said, you'll go after these. He just said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart with these. And guess what happened? His heart was hardened. Well, it made things temporarily worse. But it was actually accomplishing a purpose that God was going to use in the end to set the people free. What's the alternative? Well, Lord, I don't like your plan, so I'm not going to do it. Well, okay, then you'll die too. Lord, what if I'm the only one who will do this? And God would say, start all over with you then. sometimes put in positions where God is asking us to do something of a quote-unquote miraculous nature. Not doing a miracle per se, but something that seems miraculous to us. Something of extraordinary means that will require trusting God to the ultimate. I'm doing something that, well, maybe the most of the people would say, I don't think he can do that. By faith, Moses kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, even if there's a little bit of doubt back there. Number two, people would have said to Moses, everything that God has told you to do to Pharaoh has failed. What makes you think this will work? You've got to answer the people because they're upset with you. You come in here, you tell us you're going to lead us out by the hand of the power of God and we're supposed to submit to your leadership because that's what God said. Man, you've blown it. This doesn't work so well. What makes you think this plan is going to work? Where is there historical precedence for what God is going to do? Well, let me see. Genesis. No, I didn't see anything there. No. First couple of chapters of Exodus. I didn't see anything there. God never did anything like this. Well, if God never did it before, he can't do it today, can he? And there would be a little bit of doubt there. The answer is given in Exodus chapter 7, the first five verses. And I didn't read it, but the basis of it is God says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and this is what's going to work. And every time I did these miracles, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. I told you that. It came to pass. And faith says, well, I may have some doubts about the plan of God, but I don't have any doubts about the God of the plan. And you know, if I look through Scripture, every time God says, I'm going to do something, he always did it. Every time. Third thing. People might say, in fact, Moses might say himself, how can we be sure the blood will protect us? I mean, what? It's just blood. It's not like it's radioactive or something. You know, it's not like it's going to send out an electrical current or zap anything that's coming through there. How can blood smeared on the doorposts protect us on the inside? Because God said it would. Faith may have some doubts about the plan of God, but it never has any doubts about the God of the plan. And so they sprinkled the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Number four. Okay, if we do this and we're inside till the morning, and there could be a question of what counts as the morning, but I didn't put that one in there. What should we do while we're inside to help? Because after all, Lord, you want us to do something, don't you? I mean, we're just going to be sitting there? Playing Yahtzee? That sounds Hebrewish. You know, we can only eat so much lamb. Mint jelly will run out pretty soon. What are we supposed to do as this goes by? You know, should we, you know, stand in front of the door with a pillow or something to keep this out? Or, you know, certainly you have something for us to do to help you, don't you? Isn't it interesting how many things man dreams up that are necessary in assistance to God to provide salvation for people? when the scripture is so clear, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. But, we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also need to be baptized, or we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and join the church, or we need to believe and take communion, or live a righteous life, or do this or do that. Somehow we got to help in all this. And the answer is, no, just sit there. While you may have some doubts in the plan of God, you don't have any doubts in the God of the plan. Last one. And this I threw in because this is one that I think would all be in the back of our minds, although we would never express it. While we're waiting, and while you're out there in the streets, can we watch at the window? I'd like to see this as it's taking place. Would you like to see that taking place? I mean, we don't. Man, God's going to do something miraculous and I'm stuck inside and I can't see anything. My answer is this. Faith in the God of creation sees things that are not found in creation. Faith sees the hand of God that created the world, while physical eyes see the world that God created. You stay inside, and you will see my salvation by faith, not by standing at the window and looking. And when it's all said and done, you'll see. And by faith, they kept the Passover. Guess what happened? Everything that God said He would do, He did. I'm sure there was a lot of emotion that night in the houses of the Hebrews. Some fears, some doubts, some concerns. But when it was all said and done, they were all in their houses, coated with the blood, and they were all saved. And that's what faith is all about. Let's pray. Father, encourage us in the times of concern, the times of doubt, of uncertainty, that whatever God says He will do, He will do. And may our faith always be in a God that accomplishes His will, even when we're not certain of it. For Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.